going around New York. I request for Dr. Dre and Eminem. You forgot about Dre. Because I'm glad to see Dr. Dre's on top of the rap game. Detroit, what?
Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
Whoa.
Woo.
Woo.
Not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life.
Let's go, Tori.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. Oh, I'm your host, the host, with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Papa Oat Milk, the Creatine Dream.
Love that.
Yeah. C-R-E-A-T-I-N-E, a.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof. Oh, Raja. Yeah, yeah. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby. Gubba, wee.
Oh, fuck yourself.
Oh, okay. All right, Tulo. Cool it, all right?
Gubba, wee.
Gubba, this girl, she's mine. And hum.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
Damn, she's fine.
Ooh. Eat my ass, Timberly.
What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all our spicy, muy, chef's kiss, caliente, wrestling reactions. And you know what you're hearing. You're hearing clips from Tulo's behavior in last month's Cal Zoom Thunderdome, which is this Sunday, baby. If you don't know what I'm talking about, every single month, the patrons get together at the $10 level, and we hang out in a virtual setting through Zoom in the Cal Zoom Thunderdome. And
what it is, cyberspace.
Oh, in cyberspace. Yeah, we hang out in cyberspace. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what they said in '96. and in the cyberverse, and we watch we're gonna be watching Elimination Chamber together. It's a fucking blast. It's one of the greatest experiments of Cal. I'll just jump ahead for a second to Tulo's here, and I'm gonna just give him a quick talking to about his behavior. He got a little out of control last time. Yeah, this is you. That was you.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's paying patrons there, and you were saying,
"Oh, fuck yourself."
Okay. Anyway, we'll get.
Yeah.
Tulo, I didn't introduce you yet. Okay, relax. Whatever. All right, everybody. Anyway, you go to patreon.com/comedianswrestling, get access to our bonus episodes. We are 5 patrons away from our goal of hitting the 20 patron push. When that happens, brand new Cal art will drop in your whatever podcast app you're using, and a corresponding sticker will be instantly mailed to you. If you didn't get the other stickers before, by the way, you'll get the other Cal stickers as well if you're a newer patron, and also the return of the Cal Movie Club. Aaron has chosen 10 more movies with pro wrestlers in them that we will watch for season 3 and dissect to an unhealthy degree. Some of the most fun stuff we do here on Cal. So a lot happening. If you dig what we're doing, remember, we do this all ourselves. The YouTube, the recording here. And if you want to support the podcast and get access to our Discord server, be a member of this community, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. You're supporting independent podcasting. All right. You want me to switch over to like the Ringer or something where they're like, we want you to be a little more analytical. No. We do it ourselves. Patreon.com, baby. All right. Wow. We got a full house here today. I'm excited to introduce everybody here. We got obviously the first lady, Erin Finnerty. What up? We got the no seller of questions, the nasty one, Nasty Newman.
No questions. How about it?
And the Marketect, the Super Mark, the markiest guy on Long Island and possibly the world, Mr. Nick Tulo. What up?
5:06 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's your boy, Tiptoe with Tulo. What's up? I am so excited for Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, Elimination Chamber is very exciting. We're going to jump right, because we have so much to cover today, that we're going to jump right into all the stuff that matters here. What's going on? Oh, my Shapiro. Fucking God. Jason Shapiro, the cow.
No, there you go. Cow champion, Jason Shapiro. He's in the building, guys.
The cow heavyweight champion is here from, I imagine, from Hawaii, blasting it from Hawaii.
Yeah, you know I'm coming to you live from Waikiki, Hawaii Standard Time. It's always 5 o'clock somewhere, usually here. I'm living a permanent happy hour. And you know why I'm here,
Living a permanent happy hour?
Yeah, you guys know why I'm here. You tell them why I'm here. Why don't one of you fucking people tell
them? Well, we can see if you're watching on our YouTube channel, which you should, by the way. Check out our YouTube. Just look Google Comedians Wrestling YouTube channel. You can see all the video. You can see Shebs. He popped in here on the Zoom. He's shirtless, flexing. He's got the cow title in almost an Alexa Bliss style pose, like to the side of his face, but it's on the back of his head.
Yeah, do it like this to get the shoulders really pop.
Yeah, covering his bald spot. And he's wearing Hawaiian beads.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
That's not. Bald is beautiful. That's not. Yeah,
that's too far. I can't insult Shebs on the spot here.
That's, you can insult Shebs for all of the valid reasons to insult him, but the hairline is not. That's not a good thing.
Now look, right, Shebs, I'm just going to say one thing. You're here. Yeah, I know you're since you have champion's privilege as the Chicago champ. You're here. Normally, I'm upset about it. You know, because you interrupt the flow here. I have a whole list of stuff to go through. Aaron was going to run us through the predictions threads because we're on a go home show for the pay per view. But I got to say, you're here, and frankly, it's deserving why you're here.
That's right. I appreciate that. I think I don't want to be the one to break. If you're a fan of the show, I imagine you're also a fan of the great one, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, the most famous man in America, the biggest star on earth right now. And I don't want to have to be the guy to tell you what's going on this week. It's a big week for the pod. Let's be honest. It's a big week for the podcast.
It is an undeniably big. It's an undeniably big week for the podcast because of what you did. I gotta say, I gotta what you did. And so fill them in on what. Fill them in, Shed. What happened? Is
cooking. Look, I said. I feel like somebody. I feel like Tulo should tell him. Because Tulo's been mad at me for... Because look, he, out of all the people in this room, he understood the least what I did and why I did what I did. And Tulo, I've said I'm sorry to you many times. But what happened is, guys, that belt, this beautiful, beautiful belt, the most prestigious prize in the podcast game, the Comedians of Wrestling heavyweight title, was just languishing in LA, doing nothing. Dan, you weren't defending it. There was no action.
I was defending myself from COVID.
Look, nothing was going on. And I said, I got an idea.
Listen.
I saw an opportunity, I put it together, and I became the Comedians of Wrestling champion. Tulo got a little bit of collateral damage, had to knock his ass out to take the briefcase. Dan, you know, you got a little donked on the head there. I'm sorry about that. But we all agree it had to happen. I had to become champ, and I had to pull the Waikiki
Listen
sneaky.
You're so fucking lucky that you were the first of the 10 things on the first. Like post, because if you weren't, if you were like the eighth or the seventh, no one would be fucking.
All right, none of you are saying anything clearly.
So
I was trying to give you your
due
as the champion, but none of you are saying this clearly. So what happened was Jason became the cow champion. I was the cow champion. I had not been defending the title. I'll be honest with that because of the pandemic. I was saying I was going to be a responsible champion. I thought it was a responsible thing to do to lay low. Now. I understand that was a little bit controversial. People saw that as me dodging, and I've read some weird stuff. All right, on the Discord and then the sheets, okay? And Shebs decided that this Cow Bunny in the Bank briefcase, which Tulo was also responsibly wielding, and he was hanging in Long Island, not coming here to cash in because, and he might have cashed in at Cowmania too, who knows? But it didn't happen because of COVID. And so we were being responsible. Shebs did one of the least responsible things I've ever heard in my life, which was broke into Tulo's house, beat the shit out of him, stole the briefcase,
liberated the briefcase,
which is a it's a possession contract according to Cow attorney and former Cow champion Adam Letterman. Says if you have possession of the title of the document, then you can get the title shot. And he flew over here, said that when you were moving to Hawaii after your breakup, which I felt bad for you for, that was a tough time in your life. We were gonna hang out for minutes. I was gonna break quarantine to socially distance, hang out with you, and you were gonna stop by during your layover on the way to Hawaii. You came here. I was feeling sick, thought I might have COVID. You came, beat the shit out of me, pinned me, and drove immediately back to the airport and flew to Hawaii, where you claim the title is now on the line for anybody who wants the title, except for
every
the fact
week.
That getting to Hawaii is practically impossible. It costs over a couple $100s, which is prohibitive for most people, to get this test. And then you have to get there, and it has to be sponsored by the Hawaii State Commission, you've said, for the title. You're dodging it, and you're in Hawaii.
Dodging?
You also have to quarantine for 14 days.
You're not telling the people what the good part was. We all
and
know
so
that's
he's
what
in
happened.
Hawaii. That's what happened. Now, that's for the new listeners, and we have a lot of new listeners. But what Shebs, what he's celebrating is that this morning.
And by the way, hold on. What I'm celebrating? No. What we as a podcast are celebrating. Yeah. What the entire Jabroniac Nation is celebrating. Okay, because this is for you, buddy. I did this for you. Tell them what we're celebrating this week in Cow Pod history.
The Rock reposted a video of Shebs with the Cow Podcast title, toasting some Terramana and plugging his title win on, and not just on like when you slide through The Rock's Instagram, it's the cover video, the entire video of you and your crew, the Ever Beach Bad Boys.
Yep,
and you mentioned that you directly mentioned the Cow Pod in your post. It's a major endorsement for the pod. You got The Rock to inadvertently, I guess, take your side here.
Whoa. The Rock. All right. See, this is what you guys don't understand about DJ. This is so funny to me because you guys are such
DJ.
Marks.
You call DJ. So now that you're a faux Pacific Islander, you now call yourself DJ.
Excuse me. I'm not a faux Pacific Islander. Obviously, I'm not a Pacific Islander heritage. Yeah. I'm of Middle Eastern North African heritage. Okay.
Yeah.
I happen to be currently living in the Pacific, in Hawaii, and I've been adopted by the Hawaiian state sort of as a state bird of sorts, okay? Like, you know, I'm hanging out with some of the local guys. We're getting along, man. This is, I'm vibing out here. I'm a man of the people. Dan, you know this. You and Arlen always make fun of me because you're jealous that wherever I go, I make friends fucking fast. Like, I become a man about town, and this is my chosen town, and Hawaii is my chosen state. And Waikiki is where I hang my hat. And Ever Beach is where my boys play. So me and the Ever Beach Bad Boys, we were out celebrating, man. Celebrating the title. Doing a Terramana toast. You want to know why? Because DJ, look, I work at Sirius XM. I used to work at Saturday Night Live.
You stop calling him DJ. You stop calling Dwayne Johnson DJ.
DJ sent me a bottle of Terramana. He was like, look, bro, you're the champ. I got to respect it. He knows about the pod because of me. Not because of you. Not because of you, Finnerty, or you, Newman. Tulo, get real, okay? The Rock knows me because I am a somebody. And I took this belt, and it broke my heart to have to take something away from my best
friend
seem
broken
in a
up,
pandemic.
Bro.
It broke my heart to have to take something away from my best friends in a pandemic. But I knew what I had to do. I had to get this belt around a real champion's waist. I had to get this belt around a real someone's waist. Because now I'm out here on the streets. I'm with the Ever Beach Bad Boys. We're in the Waikiki Gun Club. We're doing big things. And The Rock sent me a bottle of tequila.
The Waikiki Gun Club? What is that?
Yeah, bro. If you have to ask, you don't understand.
Okay.
The Rock sends me a bottle of tequila. And honestly, I think he sent it to me because he's doing promotion too. Young Rock is on NBC right now. Like, so he's just getting the word out. And he was like, this guy gets it, man. He just knew what I'm about. Game respects game. He's like, this guy's a great champ. Sends me a bottle of tequila. And out of respect for him, I do a Terramana toast with the Ever Beach Bad Boys, Terramana Tuesday, and then he reposts it. Main feed, main page, main post, front slide, front and center, Comedians of Wrestling Podcast. Not one of you people out there, love me or hate me, most of you probably love me, but not one of you people can say that I am not elevating this title, I am not elevating this podcast, and I am not putting the Comedians of Wrestling on the map in a way that nobody has done since me. You got to give me credit. You got to. You love it. You hate it.
Can I
you
say something?
Learn to love it.
Can I say something?
Please, you're my best friend. I'd love to hear you talk.
Okay, you're not my. Okay, you're not my best friend. But I would like to say this.
It's insane, but okay.
I like to say this. This is going to be controversial. I know I'm going to take shit for this. Okay, but I will say this. What you did today is undeniably great. It is what it is. I mean, look, guys, The Rock is the fucking Rock.
The man.
I don't know what else
man.
To say. And Sheb's getting the cow title on the Rock. Not even second slide, not third slide. First slide, full promo. I mean, I just got to say, listen, I work my ass off on this pod. What you did today was a great service to this pod. And that's just fucking, I don't know. Is that, am I wrong? Does it, well, I mean, me, can we? It's kind of undeniable greatness. What you've done. I have
let
to
me
say
tell you
that.
Something, Dan. Dan, let me tell. First of all, thank you. Look, I know you've been mad at me. You know, you're upset. I know it's not permanent. We're best friends. Well, it's gonna be fine. But
let's not conflate the two. We're talking about
But what I'm saying is this: what you've done here, you've built this incredible universe. You were you're a cow champion in your own right. You built this whole world. It's a great world. We love the pod. I love the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. I'm honored to hold this belt. Without you laying the foundation work, I couldn't do what I do and bring it to the next level. And part of the reason I'm the greatest cow champ of all time is because of all the hard work that you did. And okay. Even you guys, all you guys on the show, Phil Pesapane is killing it. Newman, Aaron, Tulo, you guys bring so much to the table. Without you people doing what you do every week, I couldn't come in and just fucking slam dunk this shit in everyone's faces. Okay. And to all the jabroniacs, even the people who are critical of me, it's all love. I do this because I love the show and I love you guys. And you guys need some excitement, man. Let's be honest. You need someone to take this thing to the top. And like I said, love it or hate it, you can't deny it. You got to learn to love it. Because I got on The Rock's fucking Instagram.
Yeah.
And I put this title right in your fucking eyes.
I got to say, I guess I am thankful that Shebs, that you are the one champion that didn't try to murder me.
Yeah, sure. So you're my boy. I love you, man. I would never.
That's really big.
So I guess that is big, yeah.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Let me go out on a limb. Let me give you a promise. I will never murder Alex Newman. I will never try to murder Alex Newman.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't if you tried, but I thank you for that sentiment.
All right, well, Shebs, I'll say this is fucking insane. I cannot believe I'm saying this. And I'd like to move on and talk about all the great wrestling that's going on
sure,
here.
Sure.
And I can't force Tulo to do this, but I guess I'll kind of speak for him, I think, and is to just thank you for that promotion. I mean, that's you know, it is what I don't know what else to say. It's the fucking Rock. It's the Rock. I think he might have the most followers on all of Instagram.
He has the most followers for an American male. Yeah. Wow. He's like a top five guy worldwide. I mean, The Rock, dude. I'm doing this. We did it, guys. We did it. You, Jabroniacs, Dan, all of us. We fucking did it, guys. We got this belt. We got this belt on that Rock's page. The most important wrestler of all time. The most famous man on the planet. As far as wrestling is concerned, our little podcast got on that fucking big stage. That's awesome. I'm so excited. I love it.
All right, let's move on. And Jason, I'm glad you came here today. I'll see you later.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm the champ. I'm allowed to stay on this podcast. It's my podcast.
Oh,
champions
my
rights. You can't
forget
that.
Shit. Yeah, you're right, Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess Shebs is here today, and should we ring the bell and get going here?
Yep.
All right. Well, let's ring the bell. Let's get it going.
Yeah,
let's lower the cage.
Stand up.
Let's lower the cage. Let's ring the bell.
See, this is the type of stuff that The Rock loves about the show. He told me. He's like, he loves this stuff.
Oh. Put a little flair on it this time.
How was that? Was that good that time?
Somehow the least. It's like the worst one you've done thus far.
Oh, that was bad. That one was bad also. I seem to never nail that.
Ding, ding, ding. That's it. Three.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I hear it in my head, and then that's how it comes out. All right, I unplugged my headphones. All right, let's do it. All right, so, man, where do we stop? Where do we start? So many places to go here, but here's what I want to start in kind of a weird way here on the pod this week. There's a ton of shit to talk about, but I wanna talk about Bad Bunny for a second, okay?
I was hoping you were gonna start there.
Tulo loves Bad Bunny. I know it's kind of a weird start to place, but It's interesting because Bad Bunny won the 24/7 title on Raw. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And hold on.
I'm kind of losing my mind right now.
Yeah, he won the I'm
thinking of the parallels.
So, all right, so he won the 24/7 title on Raw, and then he's the guest, he's the musical guest on SNL this weekend. We know that all WWE is going to Peacock, mm-hmm. and then you have Young Rock coming out also. It's pretty fucking cool if they're going to start expanding, like, the NBC WWE universe, and make it like it's a part of Peacock, and the titles might pop up on SNL. And it is the smart move. Do you think we see – so I guess the question really is, do you think we see the 24/7 title at Bad Bunny's performance on Saturday?
100%.
Without a doubt. And I think you're going to see R-Truth run on stage and try to pin him.
Wow.
I also think so.
I got news for you guys.
Yeah.
I got on good authority. You don't think I hear the streets out here? The streets is whispering.
Oh, shit.
R-Truth.
Shebs, can you, just for time, can you not preface everything with how great you are? Like, how you have all the connections and everything? Like, can we just, like, because if you want to be here, I can't stop you from being here, and you've earned your, I'll be honest, you've earned your right to be here double today. But,
privilege.
We get it. You have privilege. Contacts. Just speak, though.
R-Truth is going to be the musical guest on SNL. He's going to drop a verse and then win the title.
Yo, that would be so funny. Do you think the SNL audience would be like, what the fuck? Like, I think you can't really do too much 24/7.
You could go with this, and you could go with that.
ladies and gentlemen.
What's up?
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, R-Truth. What's up? What's up?
Do they do what's up with that?
Yeah, Keenan. Dude, by the way, excuse me. Keenan has a new show coming out on NBC also. Keenan just came out this week.
Yeah.
So Keenan could reprise the What's Up With That host. R-Truth, Ron the Truth Killings is going to sing What's Up as the musical guest. He's going to take the belt off Bad Bunny during his second song, and then he's going to be the new musical guest.
Well, here's the other thing, too. I have a feeling Booker T is going to be on SNL as well, and they're going to perform Booker T. So things can start really getting crazy.
I think
Booker T, Damian Priest, Bad Bunny, they should wrestle in a match at Mania, come out to Booker T. I think the song, if they're going to do this, Bad Bunny's going to steal the show. I mean, getting the title on SNL is amazing.
So here's my thing. My question is this.
The parallels to Shebs getting the title on The Rock's Instagram are undeniably there.
Where my brain was going with this Bad Bunny thing was like, like in the Attitude Era, The Rock hosted SNL because he straight up was just like, yo, he's one of the most famous men right now, so he should host it. It was completely just earned. Can we just book wrestling into being popular again this way? Like, can you book wrestling on SNL? Just be like, hey, look, like, here's wrestling shit. It's good. Like, just tell people it's good. Really, like, Roman Reigns it a little, John Cena it, like, jam it down people's throats. Yeah.
So the question is, can they pro wrestling into the consciousness of America?
Can you
The answer is, of course they can.
Yeah.
And they're gonna. And let me tell you another parallel also.
Yeah.
Bad Bunny on NBC. How about a little show hosted by a bald finance wizard named Jim Cramer called Mad Money on CNBC? I think we're going to have Bad Bunny guest hosting Mad Money, which I believe isn't on the air anymore. And Jim Cramer might try to win the 24/7 title. And that brings the whole GameStop thing into it, and Stonks and Reddit, and then Elon Musk has the title.
Kevin Grimes,
and then I'm on Elon Musk's Instagram. Shit is popping off. It's all coming together, guys.
Then, you have Cameron Grimes.
Yeah.
He's like, you have Cameron Grimes involved somehow? Because he's got,
Me and Cameron Grimes for the cow title on Mars. Cowmania 3.
On Mars?
Yeah.
Elon Musk is going to fly you guys.
Yeah. The next one.
Yeah.
The Starlink heavyweight championship of the universe.
Anyway.
Cody reprises Stardust and guest referees.
Bad Bunny is one of the first stars who, I understand he's crazy popular. I also listen to his music now on the way to the gym because he's in wrestling. And he's such a mark that I'm like, yo, respect. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a huge – I love when people don't need to be involved in wrestling, but they want to be in wrestling. That's – it's my favorite zone. It's literally all of my friends in L.A. are people who, if they get famous enough, would be on wrestling the next day. Like, you know what I mean? So they would use that. Yeah. So but Bad Bunny is still one of these guys who I'm like, I know he's huge, but I normally when I find out someone's huge, then I start seeing them places and this and that. Like I don't hear his music anywhere. I'm never exposed to him. He's like this kind of like sneaky. I guess it's because it's the Latino community, but I think he's a crossover talent though, right?
Did you just say he's sneaky because it's the Latino community?
No,
I don't think that's what everybody heard. It's a good thing. Look, I had to take this belt off Dan before he got canceled. That's really what happened because I can't have the title go down like that.
All right, whatever, man. I'm just saying I feel like he's also an English talent. You know. Anyway, whatever. Okay.
English talent. What's he? Okay,
English. All right. I fucked in the UK.
Mr. Bad Bunny. Yeah.
Bad Bunny's now the replacement for Liam Gallagher in Oasis. Look, here's the deal.
All right. Anyway, this is the new Bad Bunny hit. Yeah, it's called DDP. It just goes through the WCW roster. Anyway, my point is I like Bad Bunny. As a matter of fact, that song, I think it's called Takiti. Is that what the song's called?
Yeah.
That's his number one song. It gets to a part where him and some other guy or him echoed sing the chorus together. And I'm like, yeah, it gets me going. I like it. A little boomer. Shep, what are you saying?
A little boomer.
It's like that footage of that Microsoft convention where like all the dudes are on stage and like khakis and polos.
What are you like, doing with that, your arm there?
That Trump. You remember that Trump? That video of all they're all conga lining holding Trump flags. It's like,
oh my God.
It looks like an office party in 1986.
Yeah.
Oh man.
All
anyway,
places.
Whatever. So the point is that I'm gonna be watching SNL just to see the 24/7 title on there. Yeah, that's gonna be a good time. And okay, moving on. So let's talk about these two chambers matches quick. So weird thing. We're gonna have how many chambers? I know we have two men's chambers, and then there's one women's chamber.
No women's chamber.
As of right now, there's no women's chamber.
There's no women's chamber.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you think they do the women's chamber another time, or they just I don't really understand.
People who are biologically born women have a birth chamber called a uterus inside of them. So
that's
you don't have
called the birth chamber.
Yeah, it's called the birth chamber.
Aaron, Aaron has a birth chamber.
I have a birth chamber.
You have a birth chamber.
No, you called it that.
Yeah.
So an elimination chamber is just like when you have a baby. So really, they don't need to have any women's chamber matches because every woman is in her own right an elimination chamber.
All right, let's get rid of that. All right, let's get rid of that. I don't know. Thank God for what I just said before that happened, because I don't know what you're talking about. But
look, man, the time difference is getting me.
Pretty cool, though. The difference between SmackDown and Raw, though, because they both have these chambers, SmackDown is just way more clear and fun than Raw. This chamber on SmackDown is, you're like, oh, it's one of these people, they had qualifying matches for it, right? And then they have this fun thing going where they trying to force Roman to put his title on the line in there, and then Heyman played a really good role, which is like he reads the contracts and he's like, I found this loophole where it's like, no, he has to defend it legally at the Elimination Chamber, but not in the Elimination Chamber. Then Roman Reigns is going to defend it immediately after whoever wins the chamber has to wrestle Roman Reigns.
Awesome.
What's not to like about that?
That's awesome. That's just such good booking, such good use of Heyman.
Yeah.
That's what we always talk about. When they find a way to just come up with something that actually makes real world sense.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this legal expert, a guy who's actually, from a lawyer family whose whole career is being an advocate, found a loophole in a contract that makes perfect sense. He has to defend it. Why not do it right after the show? It's like an automatic briefcase type situation. It's perfect heel work.
Can we give Adam Pearce some props here?
And Sonya Deville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sonya Deville, great. Sonya Deville is awesome. They're both an interesting role for Sonya Deville, but I'm saying Adam Pearce because we're talking about Daddy Deville. That Adam Pearce plays it like he's a guy who, like, you're like, he knows exactly what his role is supposed to be here. Like, he has to just come off as a guy who works for the company. He comes out, he's doing a face like, oh man, this job's so much harder than it needs to be, And then he's sitting in the ring with the contract, being like, you were supposed to sign this whole week. You demanded it to do it here, and you're right, Shebs. You are right. I just get so excited when it just makes sense. I get so excited.
Make it make sense.
That's all we want. And by the way, and Pierce, look, there's two guys that I made my guys as soon as I saw them this pandemic. One, of course, is Punishment Martinez. the artist formerly known as Punishment Martinez. Everyone loves him now. That was me. And of course, the other one was Adam Pearce, one of the most decorated NWA champions of all time. The guy's an absolute legend in the NWA. And he's so good at his job. And he just totally exudes like a guy who goes into like a fucking, you know, like into like a smoky strip club on like a Friday night after work, just being like, oh, like I'm getting fucking killed at the office. My boss is grinding my gears.
That's the script on Mark is born.
It's like my ex-wife is fucking pain in my goddamn ass. She won't let me have the kids this week. I'm at my back. I got a backache from all the stress. And he's like, you just bring me a cocktail. Just bring me. I'm just here to. I just gotta like relax. That's what he looks like.
What's
he
drinking?
He's drinking a whiskey.
The guy goes in there for a cocktail?
Yeah, whiskey.
He's like, oh, man, I had a really rough week. Do you have, like, a June bug?
something in a tall glass.
Yeah, something like a fun glass. Something with color.
What do you got? Like a lemon drop.
Wow, rough week. Let me get a mojito. Chebs, you had that until the end. Anyway.
Sorry, bro. Look, I'm drinking one thing and one thing only out here. That's Mai Tais.
Oh, Terramana. Anyway, so the point is that, who do you think wins the – I guess we can make this our prediction thread already. We can weave it in, Aaron. But the who do you think gets – who do you think – knowing that they're going to lose immediately to Reigns right after, right? who do you think gets this win in the chamber? What an interesting chamber. Like, that is so fun that, like, you know who wins. The stakes are, like – They get to lose. Whereas, like, the Raw chamber is like a waste of time for me.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
But even though the Raw chamber technically has the
I know
stakes,
it is also. But
you know who's winning?
I have my guess about who wins that chamber. I think it's Cesaro.
I'll agree with you there.
Well, they were teasing that, right? I mean, Cesaro.
Well, they've been pushing Cesaro clearly, and they'll push him.
I think the best way to do
it
is,
he's
the first entrant. Let him be the first entrant. Let him run the gauntlet, right? Win the chamber. And then put on another 30-minute banger with Roman, you know, like that. And
yeah,
because
Cesaro is a guy who has everything to gain by losing to Reigns there. Yeah. But I told my booking last week, I really want Cesaro to beat Reigns clean at some point. Like, I think Reigns needs some kind of L. He needs some kind of loss at some point. He needs something. Right. And he's a heel. He can eat a loss. And it coming from someone who he underestimates, like a mid-carder like Cesaro, would be really fun and would elevate Cesaro. They can't give him the title before Mania, so it's not going to happen.
Can you imagine them putting the strap on Cesaro, though, after all the, like, not gas they put in that guy's tank for so many years? But I think it's a brilliant idea to have him win the chamber and then have a fucking heater with Reigns after because – that's the thing this guy's got going for him, is the guy is an incredible in-ring performer. He's one of the strongest dudes, like, you'll see. Like, so he's going to do stuff to Reigns you can't even imagine people doing. And that's going to be after a 50-minute chamber match. Like, people are going to be blown the fuck away. To this day, one of my favorite matches I've ever seen in my life is a random match.
Cesaro.
No, the same Cesaro.
Cena
Cesaro on some random Raw in, like, 2014 was, like, blew me away. I had to sit down. I had to take a knee like fucking Kaepernick. I was like, this is fucking, I need a break here.
Jesus, you couldn't choose a different knee reference?
It's the most famous knee reference. I'm sorry. I mean, for different reasons. His reason's way more important. Mine was just, you know, I was leveled.
Yours is because a wrestling match was really good.
Look, they're not all
this is
be the
for
same.
Systemic racism. And yours is like, yo, that was a really good match.
I want to say that I support, I applaud, I admire what he's done. He's an incredible activist and figure in American history.
That's why I was making that noise, probably.
Let's save you from yourself here. You're having a good day already. But anyway, so who's in this chamber so we can make these predictions?
We got Jey.
Yeah, Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, King Corbin, Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, and Cesaro.
Wow, it's one of the least star-studded chambers.
I mean, in terms of SmackDown,
it's awesome.
Dude, but what I'm saying is that there's no one to face Roman Reigns except
Kevin Owens.
No, the only guy is Seth, right, like on the whole SmackDown roster, right. is positioned at all. That's the problem with WWE. I don't want to forget this point, so it's a little bit of a pivot. But this dawned on me when I was watching. It was just like, they don't build anybody up. They build a couple of guys up throughout the year, and then guys get pushes by always from, like, underdog status. It's always from, like, coming up from being underestimated, coming up from behind. But I feel like they do there's a couple of guys they'll make look strong, and then they get to this place where you're like, oh, yeah, why don't we push Cesaro? You know, like, you're like, oh, why not have...
But I don't get that vibe on SmackDown, though, recently.
Well, I'm talking about Raw and Jeff. I'm talking about just wrestling, WWE booking style.
I'm just saying, I think everything on SmackDown kind of really makes sense in terms of booking and who's in this match, too. You know, like, I think it's going to be an awesome match. I think it could go a lot of different ways because you have Roman's match after that. I would like to see Seth get involved. I would like to see Seth. You could build Cesaro up by Seth taking out Cesaro. Seth getting into that spot, winning the chamber, losing to Roman. Then you have Cesaro versus Seth at like Fastlane to determine who's going to face Roman at Mania or whatever it is. But I think Seth getting involved would be incredible.
Yeah, because what's Seth even doing at Chamber?
He's not going to be doing anything.
He just came back.
He came back.
Well, there's always a chance, right?
But here's the thing. The one thing to mention is so like on that Raw Chamber, right?
Yeah.
Every single one of those guys has been the world champion before, right? It's six world champions. In the SmackDown Chamber, you got KO and you've got Daniel Bryan, but other than that, it's four guys who've never been the champion. So like right off the bat, it's a way, you know, it seems like a lower, like an IC level chamber because they're just showing up to lose.
Day rocks. I know what you're saying, but and I don't want to contradict myself because like I like that it's about for dudes to get chances. The problem is that what I said is that Reigns has been booked so fucking strong that you're like, we know none of these guys have they've not been the only guy who's been booked to even go near Reigns is Cesaro, and that's why we know he's gonna win. Booking, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's no way Zayn is positioned right now. I mean, I love Zayn, but he's not positioned right now to have that Roman match. I'd be shocked. And if they did do it, it wouldn't be well done. It would be a last minute swerve, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes they do a last minute swerve, so that's why like anything can happen. But yeah, it's probably gonna be Cesaro. But that's you were saying like it seems like they're always building up a few guys, and then they like are in this position where the only interesting thing they do is give an underdog like the shot kind of thing. That's like their big move. That's like wrestling's default. That's like what they do. It's just a flaw.
But you'll always be able to do that. My argument is that's the natural progression of wrestling. That'll always happen on its own. That's like the atmosphere of wrestling, right? You know, like and so that's like the ebb and flow of it all. It's like and so that will happen. So it's on them to do stuff to manufacture shit that is new and cool and not just, hey, this guy's been losing for a while and he's a likable dude. Why don't we have him win? That would be fun just because we want to see something new, you know? And anyway, so.
Dan, I have a sidebar. When are you going to stop hemming and hawing and make Roman Reigns one of your guys?
I told you. You know when. The Monday after WrestleMania is when I will make that formal decree. I've been burned too many times before. I'm not rushing.
Don't you have someone that you want to get rid of as one of your guys? So why don't we talk about that too?
All right, so anyway, let's all just make I'll do that. Wow, I'm really getting roasted today. We roast the ones we love, folks. Let's just go around the table and say who thinks everyone's going to be the chamber. I already chose Cesaro. Who do you guys want to lock in your predictions?
For the SmackDown Elimination Chamber for the match with Roro, you know what? I'm going to pick Daniel Bryan.
I like that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always is a good pick.
I'm liking Cesaro. I think that's a great pick by Dan, and it just, I'd love to see it. I think it's too good of an opportunity not to have him win that and then do a banger of a match with Reigns. So, like, I'm all in for that.
I'm going to go McMahon's razor and say Kevin Owens.
Going to say Kevin Owens. I want Cesaro to win. That's who I want to win because of the situation, but I'm saying it's going to be Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I mean, Owens had a huge, like, closeout of SmackDown, too. They did kind of stunners. Position him to be
well,
the
guy.
Well,
he just stun everybody.
Yeah.
Just give a shitty stunner to everybody on screen.
I don't think those are shitty stunners. I think those
are
the best
stunners.
Well,
they're cool because they're stunners. They're cool compared to, like, belly-to-belly suplexes, but, like, if you compare them to every other stunner, like, meaning The Rock giving stolen Stone Cold stunners, the Stone Cold giving Stone Cold stunner, and Vince McMahon giving the Max stunner, and DDP, it's probably the worst stunner in the history of stunners, but it's...
The Edge to Orton stunner.
Absolutely. You've got the Cody cutter. I mean...
Ember Moon.
Sure, Ember Moon. The acid drop. I mean, look, the Owen stunner is a fantastic move when you're going to compare it to the fucking, you know, atomic leg drop. However, put it up next to other stunners. It's just
The abdominal stretch? The abdominal stretch is like, was like, when I was a kid, that was like the most popular wrestling move. Like, if I had to think of the move I would think of in my head when I would think of a wrestling move was that stretch. I was like, Why?
Because back then, right? They're not super athletes. Yeah, they're like former truckers.
They're smoking cigs like every match.
And they need a rest hold. And that it's good.
They were just like thrust into each other's butt. Like, like that was it. And you're like, oh, it hurts so bad.
Now, what's so crazy about the abdominal stretch is it's not even a move. It's the first third of a pump handle slam. It's like not even all the way of one move.
Yeah. And it's basically just a sports stretch. It probably feels great.
Yeah.
It's like conditioning.
Yeah. The only thing about it is the speed with which you ease into it. That's what makes it painful. It's like, it would be a stretch if you went slower, but because you're going fast, it's like, it has that like pulling off a Band-Aid effect.
I mean,
you know?
It's not even called something bad. It's called an abdominal stretch. That's like a great, you can put a YouTube video or like Google like abdominal stretch and they'll be like, here's top 10 great abdominal stretches for your abdomen.
They're all, anyway, all right. So
yeah,
we locked
all pictures of like Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Mr. Perfect.
And then him giving one. And then number 8 is going to be the narcissist Lex Luger.
And they're all equally ranked. This is the top 10 of them. And it's like,
he spanks you.
Every wrestler was the excellence of execution of the abdominal stretch.
You can't not be.
Oh, it's like playing the tambourine in the band or whatever. You're like, all right, you're good. You're all great at the tambourine. All right. Anyway, we're locking those picks. All right, lock it in. All right. Yeah, we're talking about one of your guys. I made a wrestler one of my guys, and it's always kind of irked me. And I was like, some people were talking about, can you make someone a wrestler not one of your guys? Well, look. You're not supposed to. Let's talk about this concept. If you're a new listener to the show, we talk about a wrestler being one of your guys. It's designed for you to just be like, I like a wrestler because I just dig them. Like, I dig their vibe, and I don't need to talk about their win-loss record or if they're the best worker or if they have the best abs. It's like, yo, it's just one of my guys. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's the beauty of wrestling. It's like, I like it. And we back off, he's one of my guys, right? I get it. He's never had a big push, but he's one of my guys. Got it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's give an example. One of Tulo's guys is Dominic Mysterio. Does anyone understand that? No. Does it make any sense? Absolutely not. His favorite thing about Dominic Mysterio is that he is good at getting beat up, I believe. Is what your favorite thing about him is?
And he put on he wrestled Seth at SummerSlam and put on an incredible match. And
Tulo, let me show you a highlight reel of your new favorite guys, the Singh brothers.
I don't need to hear it, though. Whatever you're about to say is irrelevant, because I don't care. He's one of my guys.
I mean, this guy got
his years. In my heart, he's one of my guys. And guess what? I think the guy's going to have a bright future. I think he's going to be in the business for a really long time, and I think he's going to kill it. And I'm all in on the ground level. Yeah. And when that – I'm to the moon.
Well, getting in on the ground level is inherently...
I'm glad you said to the moon, because this is literally the opposite of like a short position. You're taking the long position.
He's longing.
He's going long on this.
Yeah, he's longing a Dominic Mysterio stock. He's longing the stock.
I respect what he's done.
You know what? If we're going that long, I would like to go on record right now as saying I would make Becky and Seth's daughter one of my guys.
Rue? Oh, you want to make you want to make Rue Rollins one of your guys?
Rue Rollins, one of my guys. Sky's the limit for this girl.
One of my guys by default.
Sky's the limit.
Is Seth one of your guys? Is Becky one of your guys? Then Rue's one of your guys. I mean, this is how things work. I mean,
they made a person. So
I would like to make. I would like to make.
And Seth Rollins is really proud to be a parent, not a father, but a parent.
He's a parent. He's a parent. No. That's a great call. He did say that. Seth Rollins is sometimes Seth Rollins is so
Becky's
weird.
The dad.
But Seth Rollins, I gotta say, we'll go into this, but we'll talk about it. But Seth Rollins really is like one of my favorite promos in WWE. Like. He really is fucking good at what he does. They're a little like generic, but he's authentically a stiff, and so I love what he does, you know. And like everybody walking away from him, he had like a he almost had like a lumberjack promo. Is that what he did? He cut a lumberjack.
All right,
promo?
So this is an example. Yeah. This is an example of when wrestling makes zero sense. Like, why we're like, all right, everyone, Seth's doing his promo. Everyone, get out there, chop chop, chop chop, guys. You know the like, wait. Have we ever walked outside to witness a promo? No. But you know, Seth is back. You know the rules.
Back everyone's father. So everyone's like, oh, we're so happy. We're gonna come out here and hear he's got a new vision. Let's hear what it is. And it's the same shit.
No, like, so see, Tula, like, I agree. Like, I agree. That's really cool. They tried to manufacture that moment. Like Alexa had. I was trying to find this moment, by the way. If someone could find it, remember that moment where you thought Alexa, she won that match. I forget what it was, and you thought she was gonna be a babyface, and then she all of a sudden was just like, and I'm the best and you all suck, and everyone was like like she turned heel when she was having babyface heat.
What was that from?
It was so fucking good. It was so, it was like the lock it in moment for me with Alexa Bliss, and
that was like 3 years ago. Easy.
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago. It was fucking great. We'll find it, but we'll find it, just like we found you know, we find everything. We found you guys remember this.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
That was on 9/11, by the way, 2018. Ooh, but wow. Okay, so anyway, listen. Okay, a couple points here. So Lumberjack Man, what they were trying to do is like, so that moment Alexa had where he was like, where she had that moment, she turned it. They try to manufacture one of those where they're like, everyone's out here because Seth's back and everyone cares. Like, that's a thing that happens at all in wrestling. And then it's cool idea that everyone would be like, maybe Seth's a different guy. Let's walk out. But if you never have the base reality that other wrestlers come out to listen to promos in the middle of the ring, then it makes no fucking sense. Then they're walking and you're confused the whole time. That's where WWE sucks. It's like they sometimes try to create these new realities without doing the work, you know?
Right. Plus it's half-baked because at no point did they cheat at any point up to this that Seth might be kind of a good dude now. They didn't cheat
just
that.
By playing Burn It Down, it was like, that's enough to be like, oh, he's back to the old Seth. But he dressed clearly like the Messiah still.
He
right?
dressed even more Messiah-y like than the Messiah. He was wearing
a plastic
suit.
Leather.
I have never seen in my life, I don't know if I've seen one leather blazer worn not as a jacket but as a suit blazer. I've never seen it coupled with a leather shirt. I may never have even seen a leather button-down shirt, and I've certainly never seen a leather tie. To do all of those, the guy's wearing a full... Probably leather socks.
He's probably sweating. He lost 10 pounds
during
that. Just
keeps it all in.
Leather underwear. That guy was head to toe leather. And let me tell you something. The champ was watching. I was like, I need to get me one of them Seth Rollins leather custom suit jobs.
It looked.
You need to hire his stylist.
I would love it.
I loved it. It looked a little like Talking Heads. It looked a little like, it had a little like David Byrne vibe to me. Listen, I think it looked fucking awesome. I love it. I Seth does like no wrong by me.
He's just so locked good. In. He's so locked in. He hits so many fronts.
He did look a little bit like he would like offer like a blues musician to be the best guitarist in the world for his soul. At the crossroads. A little bit.
Yo, that is all, he looks like the devil. Like he pops up and he's like, yeah. But I like the idea of it was really good, but it should be him speaking to a, which is hard to do, but it should be him speaking to a crowd of real people and they walk out. Or like, it's like, oh, his old fault, you know, like you know, it was they're trying to pull this base reality where it's like, hey, everyone on the roster really loved Seth before. He was really like a locker room general. Then he went for this Messiah thing, and now he's back after being dead. Everyone wants to give him a second chance, and then he blew it again, which is like, it's like so many layers of not working. Like,
all they need to do is just set that up where, like, he shows up and talks to three wrestlers backstage. Like, guys, I'm just really happy to be back on SmackDown. I'm a parent now.
Yeah, that's all
like,
it needed.
I honestly, like, I'm just really excited to get back to the old Seth and just, like, do things right. And then Swerve.
He's like, it mean a lot to me if you guys came out tonight. Because I want to apologize to the locker room. That's all you needed to do.
Right.
I will say they showed a bunch of promo packages that were more old Seth Rollins, face Seth Rollins, than his Messiah stuff. I felt like all of his stuff was, like, all those promo packages made you think that you were getting like, oh, a face Seth Rollins coming back, Messiah's gone. That is
no, that's only because you are so in tune with the Markdom that like only you would pick up on that frequency. I think
the stuff that is true.
No. I feel like a lot of people felt that way. I was like, I was completely thinking he was back. Dude, like, oh shit, the music hit. I'm like,
that is classic too low.
It's a big country.
I don't really think it is, though. That's funny because I'm just saying, like, I was picking up, like, what they were kind of doing. Like, all right.
That's who it works on. Whatever they're doing doesn't work, but it works on a lot of
And they were calling
viewers.
Him the architect.
That's the thing about Seth, though, what we have going on here with Seth is really interesting. I mean, we have a character that has a Randy-esque style, true-to-personality gimmick going on where it's the architect thing. It's like he cannot help but coming back to the architect, whereas Randy cannot come back to like just being a fucking snake who will turn his back on anybody, right? He's like reptilian brain, right? And like you have with Seth where it's like he cannot be not like methodically turning his back on people going for advantage. Right. And that's amazing. And you're like, wow, that's like a really – it's another version of Randy, but like – with its own, it's another version. It's like Andy. It's Andy. It's Randy Edge. It's like a you have that, but he has his own nuance to it that now is like deeply ingrained in the kayfabe of wrestling. And you're like, this is easy to pull off. This is easy. Am I wrong?
No, you're dead right. It's when people are locked in with their gimmick and their personality are lockstep, so it becomes easy. It's like Vince Vaughn acting. It's like we just watch him be Vince Vaughn and it works. Yeah. Like Orton is Orton. And he's able to work. Seth is set. Like, they just found their stride on screen that matches off screen. I do need to mention, though, you stumbled upon other versions of Orton that still work, and you mentioned Andy Orton. I think there's also a Sandy Orton. There's a Mandy Orton.
Ooh, this is like a split situation.
Yeah, we need a couple different...
Candy Orton.
Candy Orton's
Andy
mother.
Orton. He's the raver.
Sandy Orton's
I just think those – I want to see those versions of Orton. I want to see him in like a Flip Wilson, Gerald Dean
he
wig.
Gets
like,
10 spots in a rumble. That's Candy Orton.
It'd be amazing.
Like, oh, you're like, who's coming out next? Oh, it's Candy Orton. Oh, my God, it's Candy Orton.
Like with a bouffant, just like being like, what are you boys up to? Yeah, it's great. So hold on.
Chefs, go, ready? Who is it?
It's Mandy Patinkin Orton.
Mandy Patinkin Orton. Oh, my God. He thinks he works for the CIA. All right. It's
Lemon Shandy Orton. He's got a beer.
It's Lemon Shandy Orton. This is barely a gimmick. This is barely a gimmick. This is barely a gimmick.
He just has a beer.
Wait, one more. Oh my God! It's Dandy Orton. He's wearing foppish turn of the century British clothing. Dandy Orton is here.
Oh my God! It's Jessica Tandy Orton. He's driving Miss Daisy crazy. Oh,
all right. Out of nowhere!
Oh my God! He's being driven down to the ring. He's being driven down to the ring by Morgan Freeman.
It's Grande Orton. He's at least 20 ounces.
Grande.
I got one more.
We're taking stretches at this point. You cannot bomb.
The boy is his. It's Brandy Orton.
And
Monica's here.
Oh, my. Are there any more?
I think we got him, bro. We're not going to sit here and just think of them. If you have one, do it.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
I'll happily go back to talking about how Seth Rollins and Daddy DeVille now dress the same and look the same to me. And I totally understand why that Nazi chick like has a type. Like she just likes people that look like that.
Right. Okay. All right.
One more. Oh my God, it's the popular New York City bookstore, The Strandy Orton.
The Strandy Orton. The Strandy Orton. Oh my God.
It's two inside. That's two inside.
What? That place closed. And also, that was just, there's an R in there that's not making it work. It's Philan. The Three-Thrapist Orton.
All right, that's it. You're all getting a reprimandy Orton. No more of
that. Oh, it's reprimandy Orton.
No more of this bit. This bit is over. I'm officially canceling it.
Correct.
That bit is over. Everyone take a sip of your LaCroix. Everybody calm down. Because this pod's out of control. All right. Anyway, let's circle it all back. The guy who's not one of my guys. So
that's what this segment was about.
yeah. We circle it back. Yo, honestly, we're becoming masters of the tangent.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, I keep track. We go. And
it's
we come back.
Tangy Orton.
It's Tangy.
Mandy
Morton. Oh my God, this is us. It's Mandy Morton. It's Mandy Morton. Oh my God. Oh, it's Mandy Morton singing Candy Orton. Wow. That's her first song.
All right.
Yo, what did Schnepper say when one of our friends requested it on TRL? What did he say? Do you remember?
Hold on 1 second. I'll pull it up right this second on my phone.
All right, we'll look it up. One of our friends was on TRL in 98, requested Mandy Moore's candy when the camera was in his face. And
it's, might not have it? Oh, it's on my old phone.
He's like, yo, I'm requesting Mandy Moore's candy because she looks so hot and I love her music. Is that what he said?
She's sweet as candy.
Because she's sweet as candy and I love her music. And what did you say? Oh, Jay Shep, you were fucking
I know exactly.
Great on that.
I mean, look, I'll dig it up and post it. I'll post it for the people. But I said, I'd like to request Dr. Dre featuring Eminem, Forgot About Dre, because I'm glad to see Dr. Dre's back on top of the rap game. Detroit, what?
Oh, man. Oh, some of you guys are so young, you don't even know what we're talking about. Anyway, you used to have to request music.
If
it was
you
hard
don't
to hear.
Know what TRL is, that's wild.
All right,
one
so.
Time- My husband interviewed Bruce Willis and Matthew Perry on TRL.
Whoa!
During high school week. Yeah.
What?
That's awesome.
Pretty rad. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
No wonder you married that guy. That's fucking smooth.
Yeah, man. Smooth. Oh, wow. Those guys.
I saw the video online. I was like, find me this man.
Yeah. I will marry him one day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It's the tag team. It's the diehard friends. It's Matthew Perry and Bruce Willis.
It's the whole 10 yards.
Ulo, not to blow your mind, but 15-year-olds now were born after TRL was no longer on the air. So
insane.
There are definitely people who have no fucking idea.
So basically, if she doesn't know what TRL is, you're too old for her, bro.
Yeah. I had a feeling you were going to come around to that.
Ass, man.
All right, so
TRL is badass, man.
There's a wrestler who's really good. I made him one of my guys because he had a moment that I was like, wow, that was awesome. But honestly, he's just not one of my guys. It's Adam Cole. He's not one of my guys. I made him one of my guys on a whim.
Wow.
And I just he's great. I root for him. I'm a fan of his. But I was like, you know what? And the reason I even say this on the pod, and it's not that to go back on him being one of my guys, like, don't get caught up in one moment of a wrestler. Like, you know, maybe, I don't know, SummerSlam match with Seth Rollins or something. You know what I mean? Don't get caught up in... What?
Did you not watch Vengeance Day?
I saw what he did, but and I like him. You could be a fan of a wrestler, but one of my guys, the table to be to being one. Oh man, Phil saying there needs to be consequences for taking back one of my guys.
This is like impeaching a president. You don't do this just for no reason.
Well, okay.
This is all about like trust.
And Adam Cole of like all the wrestlers, like
I like him a lot. I like him a lot, but he's just not one of. You don't want to lie about who's one of your guys. Like he doesn't do it for me. I don't like his promos that much. They're okay. They're right. They're a little generic for me. They're not my favorite. He's very good. He's very good talent. He's. I wouldn't even say B+. He might even be A-. You know, He's a little small
but
for,
what
my,
a weird time.
For my leg.
It's a weird time.
What a weird time to abandon it. Like,
but you know what?
I'm not abandoning. I'm being honest. What I'm doing is being honest so we understand what the one of my guys
it's
means.
It's never a bad time to follow your heart. I think that's clear. I think we can understand that. And I think, Dan, I remember you were always a little on the fence about making him one of your guys. And we were just like, you know what? Why wait? Pull the trigger. Like, let's do it.
Right.
It
was, and I've always kind of because I take this one of my guy shit so seriously for some reason.
Of course.
It's always bothered me that the listeners think he's one of my guys. He's not. And he's easily probably most of our listeners' guys. I mean, I know Skylar Aston's one of his guys. He's one of all your guys.
He's one of my guys. One of my guys for sure. I found the Schnepper promo on TRL.
He's one of your guys, Chibs. I'm surprised.
I found the Schnepper promo on TRL. Do you want it?
Yes, I do. I need to see it.
Yo, what up, guys? This is Scott from Long Island. I requested Mandy Moore with Candy because she's so hot, and I love this video. Yeah!
That's so funny.
Mandy Moore.
Yo, he's so hot, and I love this video.
I'm so glad I said Mandy Moore, so that got us to that.
His Long Island accent was so thick.
All of our Long Island accents are so thick. Hold on.
Oh, is this you?
This is Jason from Long Island, New York. I requested Dr. Dre and Eminem and forgot about Dre because I'm glad to see Dr. Dre's on top of the rap game. Detroit won!
Wow.
Yo, that's unbelievable. Detroit won! Detroit won!
Dude, those accents are so thick.
I might make Adam Cole really one of my guys at some point. I might. It's not like I can't do it again. I'm saying I might, but I was being dishonest. Why are you getting upset when I'm being honest?
No.
Why are you getting upset when I'm being honest?
Time out. You cannot make him one of your guys again. If you
I'm never allowed. I'm not allowed.
As one of your guys, don't even fucking try.
I was trying to get it. Yo, Tulo. This is why. Tulo. This is why. This is why you're off. Okay. I get a lot of questions from listeners. And they say to me, can I make a wrestler not one of my guys, blah, blah, blah. So to give an example, I was like, you know what? We're figuring this shit out together. And I was like, you know what? I wanted to show an honesty situation where so you understand. Like, don't impulsively make someone one of your guys. Someone who – a wrestler – it's someone
– Someone you idolize.
And like, yo, I think Adam Cole's awesome. It's just ultimately what he does doesn't click for me. Like, another wrestler I made one of my guys is Darby Allin, right?
Well,
he was an unconventional choice for me. But ultimately, when I watch him, I'm like, I'm excited to see this guy in a way that I'm not excited for Adam Cole.
Okay, I understand that. But to Tulo's point, okay, there's something, it feels a little bit flip-floppy and weird. You can't be like, oh, he's one of my guys this week. He's not one of my guys that week. I didn't like that segment. No longer one of my guys. Like, if someone's one of your guys, you got to feel it in your heart. You got to feel it in your soul. You
I'm telling you, I'm not. I was telling
and,
you
and,
that I was. Okay.
And let me tell you something. One thing about Tulo, say what you will about Tulo, and I probably give him more shit than anybody for being a fan of every wrestler, no matter what's going on. He's like, they're
that's
at an
true.
A-plus level right now. He
I
loves
hate the Bucks.
All right, that's crazy that Dominic fucking Mysterio is one of your guys and you hate the Bucks. However, what I got to give him credit for is he's a fully passionate man. He's got full passion for the guys he's got
correct.
Passion for,
right.
And that's admirable. And when he makes someone one of their guys, he feels that in his fucking chlam, baby. Like, it's deep in the soul, in the cock.
Yeah, but I'm coming here being vulnerable and honest, and I feel a bit like I'm being attacked. Where I was
but
like,
if people,
you know what?
People,
I look back on that, and I go, I think I was being disingenuous.
It was a mistake. Yeah. You know what you're doing? You're at the part of the rom-com where you're going, you know what, Adam Cole? Last night was a mistake.
No.
Last night
I know,
was a mistake,
I know what
Adam.
This is,
yeah,
though.
I fucked Adam Cole on a whim.
I
we were drunk.
I
was
just
looking
get
good
it.
But well, maybe he'll fall in love with him later. Maybe he'll win you back. We don't know.
Right.
You didn't have sex with Adam Cole. What happened was is that you made him one of your guys.
Oh,
okay,
fuck yourself.
At a time when he wasn't really doing that interesting of stuff.
Eat my pandemic, ass, Timberlake!
It was like right around pandemic time. Correct. That's correct. It was right around pandemic time. You probably did it. Then he's cutting
the thing. Let's go, Tori!
You got built up. Then they went face. They did uninteresting stuff. And you're like, I don't really like this guy. He doesn't do anything for me. I don't know why I said he was one of my guys.
I'm trying to tell you that's not what happened. I'm telling you that's not what happened. I promise you that's not what's happening. What it was is that I was liking his work for a little bit. But there was part of me that was like, oh, I'm waiting for this. Remember what I was saying at the time? I was like, I'm waiting for him to have a promo, to have a feud that I really – that clicked into it. But I was like, you know what? And I kind of pulled the trigger preemptively. I made that mistake. I felt pressure to do it. I made a mistake. And I'm coming clean that it was a mistake because I haven't seen that work from him. And even if he gets and does something awesome, I still believe that I won't ever want to make him one of my guys. I used to watch him on the indies, and he was getting a lot of heat. And I was like – I don't really like this guy in the indies. And even when he was wearing Rocky Bullet Club gear, which was like, you know, arguably his prime of
you
like,
You want to stand up real quick?
That's Kenny. That's Kenny, who I've never abandoned, is one of my guys. I said he didn't do good work last year, but I never said he wasn't one of my guys. Dubin, where are you at on this? Are you upset with me here? Where are you at?
I mean, look, I mean, obviously, you can make somebody not one of your guys. However, I think that that decision has equal like sort of weight as making somebody one of your guys. And I think it has to be a permanent decision to make him not one of your guys. Like, you can't make him one of your guys later. Like, if you're sure about this, you have to be sure. You're not allowed to make him one of your guys.
Aaron, how do you feel about this? This is huge, Aaron.
I think that if you made Adam Cole one of your guys in haste, like you didn't, your heart wasn't in it, but you said it, and maybe you made the mistake of declaring him one of your guys to begin with, and you regret it, then I'll give you undoing it. You know what
I'm saying? I regret it. I'm saying I felt like even when I said it, I was
I said I love you, but I just said it
because she said it to me. You know what I mean?
You didn't feel it in your little heart. So I think, but down the line, I think you're really going to need to look in the mirror if you do see Adam Cole doing work that you like and say, why can't I commit to this relationship?
Yeah, because this hurts for Adam. I understand that. It hurts for him. Like, you know, it's to lose someone, disputing his era, you know? Right.
Honestly,
like, you think that I'm one of his hardcores. I'm on his bench. He's at my table. And I turn my back on him. It's disgusting. Whoa. I'm not happy with myself. I don't feel great.
I don't feel great either. You know why? Because you're just like loosely. This means that in your universe, like one of your guys doesn't really hold that much weight. Like how much? I mean, you gotta really.
No, it's an emotional thing.
You can't be throwing one of my guys around like it's like it's
stop
nowhere.
Stop playing
know?
With
like,
stop playing with Adam Cole.
But why are you guys not? Yeah. Why? I'll quit playing games with his heart. But I feel like you guys are not really hearing me. Like, I'm fully saying, this was like
he was never one of your guys.
Right.
I think is the thing.
This is like when someone goes like, yo, I fucked up, and you still want to yell about them like they're not saying I fucked up.
No, I mean, you fucked up. We get it. He's not one of your guys, was never one of your guys.
Yeah.
But later on now.
You think I'm going to like sleep good tonight? No, I'm not. This is like, we're going to stop recording the podcast and I'm going
to
be like,
yo, you're allowed to take it back and you're even allowed to give it back to someone you took it away from, which kind of bugs Tulo. The reason it bugs Tulo is because now you're losing credibility. And one thing this podcast can't afford is for the host to lose one of my guys' credibility. That's why it's really important to have a strong champion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, did you guys see what happened over the last couple weeks with this?
How did he get those genetics? Where did they come from?
Angles. And guess what? I'm still fucking standing here on my Dominic Mysterio pedestal with my fucking hand up in the air, waving the fucking Dominic Mysterio flag that he's one of my guys.
What happened to her? Dominic Mysterio pedestal, which is inexplicably like 4 feet taller than the Rey Mysterio pedestal.
it's a taller pedestal, folks. Oh man! Anyway,
I'm just saying,
no, Dan, listen, man, you don't understand how one of my guys works. Okay,
You know what? On that episode after the Royal Rumble,
oh god!
On that episode after the Rumble, you were like, "Yeah, Sasha's one of my guys," and I was like, "Whoa,
Sasha's
whoa,
always been one of my guys."
Whoa, what?
Yeah, I could call somebody. You don't understand how one of my guys works, Shebs. I've always
and a huge disappointment.
It doesn't matter
how
one of my guys
works. I think Sasha Banks, that's maybe one of your
guys. I love
guys
Sasha.
That you were like
I was the one who said Sasha was going to win at WrestleMania 32, bro.
Which
I was
no
fucking,
way.
Back when you were banging cheerleaders, I was at WrestleMania 32.
You do
okay?
call her, you do, you have always called her, though, a nothing talent.
No,
you have
an
said,
almost.
An almost. Almost talent. That's what it is, almost talent.
Almost great talent. And now that she's on The Mandalorian giving out DDTs to, spoiler alert, don't listen, Boba fucking Fett, now she's one of, now openly, She's one of Dan's guys. See, this is where we start to
go back in
weird.
The pod, bro. We can go back in the pod. Tape. The beauty of the pod. What do you mean, what pod? This one. There's tape. There's years of
what
tape.
What pod?
Of you saying that Sasha Banks is your one of your guys?
Well, we didn't introduce the one of my guys, Dome, until recently. Anyway, all right. Dominic Mysterio is not one of my guys. All right, we can lock that in, and I'll never go back on that. I promise. Yeah. Okay.
I think Randy's going to win the chamber.
Let's talk about the men's chamber.
Raw chamber.
Let's talk about the men's chamber. Lacey Evans' uterus.
Big congratulations to Rick.
She's
Blair,
actually
Lacey
pregnant.
Evans.
Yeah.
No, but she's pregnant, right?
Yeah. Rick's kid.
No, not
big
with
congrats
Rick.
From
all right,
Cavi
that's
universe.
The markiest thing I ever said. Is that she shoot? Wait, Tulo, do you believe she's pregnant with Ric Flair's kid?
Come on, man.
Yeah, it would be Ric Flair getting somebody pregnant at his age would be irresponsible on every single level conceivable.
Woo, 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 woo. That's Ric Flair having sex with Lacey Evans. I love when he does the woos in a row, the short woos, like woo, 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 woo. That's my favorite.
Like Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
I saw Pearl Jam at Bonnaroo like many years ago, and Eddie Vedder was on stage drinking like a bottle of his own wine.
Yeah.
That he like, and I audibly
Better Vineyards.
Yeah, yeah. When I saw it, I audibly like, I love Pearl Jam, but like out loud, I was just like, "Oh fuck you!" Like it's the most like Pearl Jam Eddie Vedder move ever. So I was gonna sip on my own wine.
That's his whole thing. He drinks right from the bottle, right? That's his whole deal. That's the stage he drinks. Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite Vedder? That. Yeah, that's good. I love the.
I like the part after.
We gotta take this out. We're gonna lose pictures.
And then.
Wow, this is a wrestling podcast. Yeah. But, bro, the best is the
Pearl
fucking
Slam, baby.
Pearl Slam, everybody. Welcome to come out of Pearl Slam.
It's Sunday at the Sportatorium. It's at the Seattle Sportatorium. It's Pearl Slam.
Jeremy versus the classroom.
At the Grunge Dome in Seattle.
At the Grunge Dome in Seattle. Bring your raincoat.
Pearl Jam cover band from Mania 2 now.
Oh, man. What are we talking about? The anyway. Men's Chamber?
Pearl Slam.
All right. Anyway. Yeah, the Men's Chamber. I mean, Drew McIntyre will win the Men's Chamber.
Yeah,
100%.
We have Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randall Keith Orton, Sheamus, and Kofi Kingston.
Randall Keith.
Mm-hmm. America's
stepdad. Yeah, dude. Drew is obviously keeping that title, right?
Yeah, no that's way. What I think.
No way, Tulo. No way.
Kofi Mania 2.
Okay, no. So Chef
I think
says
it's
Kofi
I honestly
Mania
think it's
going to
be Randy.
Baby!
I think it's
going to
be Randy.
Okay. I got
Dan Black the champion.
I would love Kofi to win the title again. I love Kofi. He's cool.
No, Kofi's the man. I mean,
cut a promo for you and him.
Yeah, and he couldn't be less positioned. He couldn't be less positioned to win that title.
He's not winning the title, but it is worth mentioning that I also got him to do a custom promo for Dan when you became champ.
You've done a lot of great work for the pod. It's just true.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. No, I think Drew keeps this strap, right? Drew's showing no signs of slowing down heading into WrestleMania. I mean, it's all good.
Randy.
I would love it if it's Randy, but there's the Randy Orton conundrum. As you know, I'm the foremost Randy Orton expert. I designed with the scientists in the Amazon bunker back in the beginning of COVID before I was at Waikiki. I did a lot of international travel. But Randy, we got the Randy conundrum. Every time you put a strap on this guy, he gets one step closer to being the most decorated champion in the history of professional wrestling.
He gets one step closer to the edge.
Yes.
619.
And he deserves it in a lot of ways, but for him to overstep Cena and Flair is very major.
How many is he at now?
He's at 14.
14.
No,
14.
Or is he at 15?
No, he's at 14.
He's at 14.
14.
Tied with Triple H.
And Cena and Flair are both at 16. they're going to give Cena a 17 at some point when Cena inevitably does his like comeback run. So what do we do? I mean, when does Orton get to 15? Today? He already got to 14 this year. Like, it's not time.
God, is Randy awesome. I mean, you just want to throw your arms up, right?
One of my guys.
One
of my. I think Orton is not just one of my guys. He's the guy that made me start saying people are one of my guys. He's the guy who started the guys.
That is true.
He is the original. He's the OG OOMG. Exactly. That's exactly right.
What was that?
Arcane OOMG.
So anyway,
who do you have for the Elimination Chamber here?
I mean, I have Drew. Drew, lock it in.
I have Randy.
All right, locked it in.
I mean, we definitely see Fiend. There's no question in that chamber.
But
no question.
What version of the Fiend do we see?
Brassy Fiend!
No. The overweight one.
No.
No, what do you mean? You think
she's bringing
Bayou?
Her back. She's doing a seance, right?
Alexa Bliss had a seance.
That doesn't mean that the Fiend has to come back in the same form that it was before. It could be
Newman.
Something completely different, right?
We got to throw to Newman on this.
Aleister
Black
is the new Alex Fiend. Newman. Give it to me, WWE, one fucking time.
All right, Tulo. We're trying to throw this. We got to get Newman's take.
Tulo, wait. Tulo. You want Alexa to accidentally resurrect Aleister?
No, I want her to resurrect the Fiend in the form of Aleister.
You're not the Fiend.
Not as Aleister Black, as the Fiend, but it's Aleister Black.
Don't count on it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is never going to happen, not in a million years.
Wait.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Tulo, I got to understand this idea.
So
we'll throw to
she's
Newman.
Bringing back the Fiend, but it's not as Bray. It's a new version of the Fiend.
He's
right?
going to inhabit another entity.
Wait, so
do
you
want... not see where this is going, though? It's not going to another. It's going to her.
Oh, you're
She's invoking the Fiend spirit from the ether into her corporeal form.
Tulo holds a seance. Newman holds seance.
I took it as
correct?
She was bringing the Fiend back to life in a different form. Mm-hmm.
Contacts, baby.
Oh.
Yeah,
so
she's
think...
had the contacts before, so that's
white.
Why I didn't
they
buy into it.
From white to, like, snake eyes.
Randy?
No.
Look, I will say the Randy, Bray, Alexa, all of this is maybe one of the most gratifying things to ever. I just love it so much. These are like all three people. They're all one of my guys.
Yeah. Anyway, either way, that's still very good.
Well, Newman. I mean, he is the foremost spooky boy expert. Like
that's what I'm saying, Newman. That where are you at on this? You're saying that because have you ever had like a drawn a pentagram and like children?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that wasn't a pentagram. That was a star and a circle. Because a pentagram is the other way. And I'm sure they didn't do like a full-on pentagram because it's, you know, there's already people who think that the A in the Raw is the Eye of Horus and that it's the Illuminati. There's already people who have so severely brain damage that they think that, you know, WWE is a satanic company.
These are people who are not only virgins today, but will never have sex at any point in their lives. It's like it's not happening in this life or the next.
Somehow bigger virgins than Kenny Omega. That's the kind of people we're talking about here.
I'm not sure Kenny Omega is killing it. You know what? That is one thing I could definitely see is that, like, I can see Kenny Omega being the best wrestler in the world and struggling with finding partners.
He's big in Japan.
Yeah.
No, but this was amazing. Like, more seances, more witchy stuff. More bring the Fiend's spirit into Alexa Bliss, give that to her, let her run with it until, you know, it leaps out of her and back into Bray. However,
what about this? What if he starts doing the seance, all of a sudden, she's like, and I call you the Fiend to rise and come back to WWE to reclaim what is rightfully yours. Oh no! It's Shawn Michaels!
Oh yeah, that's right. He tried to burn me.
Oh no, Shawn!
Oh yeah,
Sean,
that's right.
It was supposed to be the Fiend. Sean, what are you here? What do you want, bro?
I'm the Fiend now. They tried to burn me, but nothing's hotter than the sexy boy.
Yeah, but that's you're like right. a born-again Christian. You can't do, like, devil shit. I mean...
Well, yeah, their hell rejected me. They said, your Christian heart is too pure, and we can't have you in hell. And they rejected me. Even though, you know, based on the first three quarters of my life, I should be in hell. They wouldn't let me be there, so they brought me back. And nothing's hotter. The flames of hell aren't hotter than Shawn Michaels.
All right, anywhere we can see you coming up, you got anything to promote?
Yeah, we got at the Seattle Sportatorium, we got Pearl Slayer. We got Jeremy versus the Classroom. We got tattooed everything. We got all kinds of Pearl Jam references.
All right, Sean, you gotta go.
I think we got the full album Versus is in there too.
That's rare.
Yeah. All right, anyway, so
no, but this is like like I want more of this shit. I love and I love it because it scares all of the fucking like people on, like, if you go look at the video of this on WWE's Instagram, there are so many people having conniptions over how satanic it is. Just these stupid, to borrow a phrase, Muppet babies that are just convinced that WWE is a satanic company. These same people would
you borrowing that
WWE.
From Warner Brothers?
I'm borrowing it from
from the champ,
mahalo.
They would never, these same people would never say that WWE is a racist company, but they are a satanic company in league with the devil. And this is proof. And so I love it on that level. I love it on the spooky level. I think Alexa is the perfect person to take this and run with it. I wish it was a true pentagram. But people have so many criticisms of the Fiend. They are all invalid and wrong. People complain about the red lights. Get over it. People claim, they complain about the booking. Get over it.
Yeah, people complain about everything. You're like, yo, you have this wrestler who's fucking satanic, and then they put these, they work their ass off to put fucking full red lighting. So they light the whole ring red, the whole outside of the ring red, and it looks fucking awesome. And then people
they fixate it. And then they're like, as soon as the red lights happen, I checked out. It's like, then take a fucking break, dude. I know. Watch something else.
The reason the wrestling doesn't take these risks is because people like complain on each side of it, you know. Anyway, all right, great. So we decide these chambers. All right, couple quick things before we get out of here, because folks, we've said people would argue we said too much, but I know you guys are. I'm gonna skip over this, but I know you guys are really pumped that Sheamus will be entering last in the chamber.
So excited about that. Also, Dan, we have a couple major matches that we didn't cover for the Elimination Chamber predictions.
Well, I'm gonna key one up here.
Okay, key it up.
Very cool moment on SmackDown was Big E and Apollo Crews getting in each other's faces. Very awesome moment. Big E really did what he needed to do. What I've needed to see from Big E for a long time is he get and Apollo Crews, frankly. Apollo Crews, that was the first week where I was like, oh, this guy, oh, that's pretty cool. That's cool. Apollo Crews is like, yo, I want a shot. And Big E like, just like played it like fully real. Like, yo, get out of my face. I'm waiting for my next opponent. Leave the ring now. I already beat you. Our business is done. It's like, and it's like, it's
you
like,
say go
like,
backstage.
And he goes, catering. Go backstage and collect your paycheck, right? Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. Go back to, right? And you're like, we need more of this. Where it's not like you just come out and you get something. It's like, yo, you shouldn't be here. I'm here to challenge my next opponent because I already beat you. Thank you, next.
You and I are done. Yeah. You and I are done, he said.
It was really awesome. It's like Big E taking his steps towards like being a champion and being a serious contender. Very cool moment. Very much dug it. Yeah, that's it. All right, Aaron, let's do the rest of those matches. And I do want to talk about one AEW thing from last week. I could save it for the bonus app this week, but...
nice little tease.
I'll give one thing. Aaron, what are the matches do we have this?
Okay, well, do we all agree that Roman Reigns will beat whoever we pick to win the SmackDown Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, 100%. The only thing that could happen is like if it's Cesaro wins, Rollins gonna come out and make it a schmoz.
Yeah, because
Rollins seems to be going to set up to feud with Cesaro. You know,
yeah.
So that could happen, but I'll still just choose Roman.
Yeah, and then we have Bobby Lashley versus Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle. Triple threat match for the United States Championship.
Dude, they should kick off the show with this match.
It could kick off all three of those guys in the roster.
That match is going to be awesome. That match is going to be awesome. You're crazy. WWE nails triple threats. You have two NXT-style talents.
It'll be good.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
Big boys.
Talking boy down low.
Yeah.
Boy down low.
Where is that drop?
I'm going to pick Keith Lee. Oh,
a little bit of the body.
A lot of meat. You're going to pick Keith Lee.
I'm going to pick Keith Lee. I like him.
Keith Lee's U.S. champ feels like a smart. That's a smart pick, I think.
Who you got?
Yeah, Keith Lee.
Keith.
I'm going to say Lashley retains.
Yeah, I'm going to do a knobby Lashley retain.
As much as it breaks my heart, I'm going to give it to the anime fan, Keith Lee. The spirit bomber. The Grizzly Magnum himself.
Newly engaged.
I don't give a fuck about this guy.
It's a reckoning.
Well, as a guy who's newly engaged, I can say without any shame or heat that I hope it doesn't work out.
Engaged.
Maybe
is that how that works?
Room for another roommate?
If you go through something, so if you get shot, you're allowed to shoot somebody? Is that how that works?
I don't know how it works out there, but on the mean streets of Waikiki, I make the rules.
Okay. All right, that's good to know.
And then we have another match that's Asuka versus TBD, right? We don't know, so I don't know.
I
think it's gonna be Asuka versus herself in a pantomime freakout match where she just wiggles
might
and shakes.
With Alexa.
And, what
might happen if Alexa's out there? If that's who the opponent is, she might do something crazy and weird.
I just think Asuka.
I know we just scratched that, right?
Predictions for
we'll table. We'll table that. We'll table that. All right. Speaking of tables, I want to talk about some people sitting at a table. Last thing we'll talk about on the pod this week. And remember, the Calzoom Thunderdome is Sunday. We're watching. It starts when the kickoff show starts. They change the times on us, but I think it's 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and fucking who I don't know, Mountain Time, and whatever Sheb's times is. I don't care. I don't know what
Hawaiian Standard Time
is. That really what it is? Is it HST?
HST, baby. I'm the HST of WWE.
Of COW.
But that doesn't roll off the tongue. I'm the HST of COW. I'm the HST of IG because The Rock fucking reposted my full promo.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Anyway, so Don Callis, I check out this an AEW. I just think it's worth talking about here. I watched this thing like four times. It's a good time. It's Kenny Omega and Don Callis and the Good Brothers. They stage a New Japan style presser after AEW, and they put it, I think, only on YouTube. And it's a really fucking good time. Don Callis is like healing off on the Japanese Bullet Club. He doesn't know any of their names. He's like, hey, yo, his voice is gold to me. It is like, it makes me laugh. It makes me smile. It's so good. He's just like, yeah, the guys over there in Japan, they're flying the flag, you know, the Bullet Club. I don't know any of their names, but
because I'm not familiar with what their names are just yet.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, not just yet.
Which is super funny because he called their matches.
Yeah, I know.
For a long time.
I know, he was the announcer in New Japan, and then he also was like, and they call those corny. He's like, I don't know how you get over with insults like that, but you know, like. It's like, you know, like it's so fucking good. And then they talked about Switchblade. They were like, there's Switchblade. And then Kenny's like, is that the guy who doesn't make money? And you're like, these are great wrestling insults. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff is like, it's stuff that they can't do in WWE because the WWE universe doesn't allow it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's not the product they make. They don't break a certain wall, right? But in New Japan, like it's more indie, meaning what AEW in that verse, they can actually insult guys for their bookings, how much money they make, and it's fucking awesome to watch. It's great. They had a nice moment, small moment where Machine Gun Anderson, like he whispers into Kenny's ear, like they're clearly, he mentions Kenta, and then he whispers, like, you don't know what he said, but it's just like he's whispering a secret about how Kenta is a loser or something, and it's really good. They're juvenile. It's fun. It's a blast. It's like high school. It's like they're like a fucking clique. It's a good time. Love it. Watch it. It's a good time.
They're working everybody. Like, that's the best part. Like, you don't know what to believe. Like, people are like, oh, they're saying like this. It's working the whole entire thing into a perfect situation.
Is Don Callis just as good as Paul Heyman? Is he on that level? Like, I feel like I think he's the AEW version of Paul Heyman level of brilliance for that role.
I love what the guy's doing. I think he's so good. And it's crazy because he was like in WWE and he never really used him in any kind of capacity like this, you know?
He just whatever he's doing, this is like maybe it just took him this long in his career to find this character in this moment in this stride with this Kenny, where it all just, I mean, it's working, man. Like this is the moment. Like I feel like a couple people right now are just enjoying like a real stride and a real moment. I mean, I think Don Callis, I think me right now being the Cow champion, I think Roman being head of the table, like some things, like it takes all the context of everything that happened, and like they just have a moment right now that's just crushing. And Don Callis is one of those guys right now.
Don Callis is one of my guys. I know that I'll have to prove it to you guys again.
Yeah,
that matters. You know what? I really think you guys couldn't handle the nuance of this. I really was trying to. I was honestly trying to be honest with you guys so that we could all understand to set a groundwork of what it kind of means. Where it's like you really got to feel.
Well, you
a wrestler.
Admitted you made a mistake. I think that's the most important.
I mean, but let's look at the timeline here of this argument. You were honest. We heard your honesty. We called you on possibly, you know, reneging on that, and then you got defensive.
Yeah, so, I mean, what's the problem?
So that's where we're at. You got defensive.
Shame.
Yeah, all right. Shame. All right, listen. All right, I'll take it. I'll put myself deep in the...
Your next stop, the Jabrones.
I'm in the Jabrones. Anyway, one last thing I'll say. Strowman had a nice moment on Raw. Of going up to Adam Pearce. And I think they're setting up for Strowman Shane at Mania. Is that what that's going to be? And like, you know what? I mean, I don't love it, but also don't hate it because Shane has had some, if Shane's going to have another match where he just takes a beating from Strowman, it might not be that bad of a time. Look, you know,
we know what Shane's here to do. All right. Shane is, and Shane, by the way, continues. He just doesn't fucking stop. It's like, dude, it's enough. Just stop. Go be a dad. Enough already. Yeah,
it's enough already.
He's like, I'm gonna jump off this thing. I'm gonna kill myself for you guys. Don't worry. No, you don't need to. Your dad owns the company. Like, you already are a billionaire. Yeah. We're fine. No. He's like, yeah. But you know what? I'm here anyway. I'm just gonna go for it. I'm just gonna do it with Strowman, who is, no disrespect to Mark Henry, Braun Strowman, maybe the strongest man who's ever been in the WWE, except for maybe Andre the Giant. He is going to slam Shane McMahon as hard as he fucking can through like a Buick and break it. And Shane McMahon is going to be paralyzed. And then next year he's going to be like, all right, let's top it. Let's do it. I'm going to jump into a blender this year. Like The thing about Shane
is that he has a long storied history of wrestling someone who like doesn't really have something to do at Mania. And then you're like he's done it with, he's wrestled Miz, he wrestled Steve Blackman, he wrestled right? Like he has like,
dude,
he's
the
got
Blackman bump. He took a bump, a 40-foot dive off a Titantron.
It wasn't
for
a
Steve Blackman.
Off, it was not a dive. It was not a dive.
Second off, you take that bump, motherfucker. Don't.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was just technically not a dive. A dive is a he
to
fell
me,
on his back.
I don't think he did an Olympic style dive like a tuck and pike.
He did the triple Lindy.
He didn't do a triple Lindy. I'm just saying. I mean, dive in the generic. He fell from a height downwards. Yeah.
All right,
40 feet,
folks.
Like,
we're
gonna... Hey, you don't got anything going on for WrestleMania? Hey, why don't you kick the living shit out of me? That'll be cool.
I know. So I don't think we'll hate it. It'd be probably better than anything else they had for Strowman at Mania. I love Strowman's kind of dressing like he's like a. Like a fucking 90s Italian mobster or something. You just see that shirt he's wearing? He's got the chain outside of the shirt. It's like a velour. It's like a velour short sleeve, I think.
It's a very popular look, the chain outside of the shirt these days. Very popular with the kids.
Tula, do you have any of those kind of shirts as a resident eye tie?
Velour? On what? On the shirt?
Yeah, like a velour tight short sleeve.
Like an Under Armour shirt, but it's made of velour.
Yeah. No.
That's like what the Hardy Boys used to wear, kind of, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Can I say one thing real quick about Shane? The match he had against Miz at Mania.
It was good.
You guys remember?
He took a crazy bump.
Miz did. Here's what I don't like about the way that match ended. Was the Miz, I think, like suplexed Shane in the crowd, like off of a platform. Yeah. But Miz suplexed Shane. Miz suplexed Shane, but then Shane pinned the Miz from that move. And they were just like, you guys have to accept that. That's what's up. And I'm like, that makes no sense to me.
Well, the way he landed, right? His arm was over The Miz, and then they said that was him pinning him. Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. All right. Dumb. Anyway, guys, let's get out of here because I'm getting tired. Okay. Is that okay? No, I'm getting ready. We got to watch AEW NXT soon. Everybody, remember, this Sunday is the Cal Zoom Thunderdome at the $10 patron level. If you're a patron, make sure you go to the Cal Zoom Thunderdome Club member level. I'll post the Zoom link on Saturday, so you'll have it a day before. I noticed when I post on Saturday, a lot of you guys see it and join, and then I get an update like someone's in the Zoom meeting already. So you guys see, so if someone wants to hang out there, like it's a new iPhone coming out, you want to just hang out in the Zoom for
day. Like it's about to drop some Yeezys.
Yeah, you could do that. Hit us up if you have any issues with it. And we only need 5 more patrons for the Patreon push, so you could be the one who pushes us over the edge for it over at patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. I'll see you all Sunday, and I'll see some of you patrons on Friday for morning. Well, listen to us for the AEW NXT bonus episode where we're discussing those two shows and what's going on over there, and I'm sure we'll have more to say about this Adam Cole situation. It's not a big deal.
Of course.
All right,
I'm gonna
everybody.
I'm going to try as the champ. You know, I should make it to the Cal Thunderdome, but I told DJ I'd watch with him on his Zoom, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. But if you guys haven't seen maybe one of the top highlights in the history of this beautiful podcast, check out The Rock's Instagram. Look for your boy, the COW champion. And I got to say, I love this podcast. I love what you guys are doing. I think I'm happy to take it to higher and higher heights, man. I'm proud to represent you guys. You know I love you all.
All right. That's good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And everybody, stay strong. Keep this streak of life going. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Storms make me bad because their new album's great and they're bringing rock back into the mainstream.